Good morning. Welcome to the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church Facebook Live video broadcast. I'm coming to you from my study, the pastor's study, because this morning, God willing, and our hearts are just bounding toward this moment. This morning, at the conclusion of the message, we're going to go immediately into baptismal services. If those of you who were here with us last week, you know at the conclusion of our broadcast, we presented Brother Zach Rice, dear, dear young brother, the beat of our heart. We presented him to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ for gospel membership. It was so gladly received, as you could see and look back on the broadcast, the sweet comments of God's people. What an encouragement. So to that end, this morning, we have a camera already set up in the fellowship hall where our baptistry is. And I will move from this camera in my study to the baptistry where we will have gospel baptism. I know that in the midst of this pandemic, when all seems so dark and so foreboding, the external circumstances of God's people, how wonderful to see that God's still moving in the hearts and the minds of men and women, boys and girls, that the Word of God certainly, praise God, is not bound. And Brother Zach Rice this morning is a living testimony, one of the trophies of God's precious grace, that God is still moving among His people and He's still on the giving hand. And so we're going to abbreviate our message this morning, be a little shorter message. I want you to do this. Now, I will conclude this video broadcast, but stay on this page because another live broadcast will start immediately at the conclusion of this one, and that will be the broadcast of the baptismal service. So I will turn this broadcast off and I will walk right into the fellowship hall. That broadcast will begin on the McClenny Church Facebook page, and you will see the broadcast of the baptism. So just when this broadcast ceases, look for the live broadcast on the page that you're presently on for the baptismal services. I want to encourage you to do that because I'm going to ask you to do something while you're there. You see, Brother Zach has not been able to receive the right hand of Christian fellowship and coming to the church as every other member of McClenny Church has for the past over 40 years that I've been pastor here. So I want you to send messages of encouragement to him during and after his baptism, if you would, in the comments section. And that will be your extending the right hand of fellowship to him this morning. He'll look back for the rest of his life on that video and see the sweet comments that you make during his baptismal service. As you're extending the gospel hand, the right hand of church fellowship, as the church did in the book of Acts. So now we'll go forward quickly, the Lord being our helper. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for these special, precious times of public worship. And Father, though we are sundered far, yet by faith we meet, as the poet said, around the common mercy seat, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. The family of God, though we're separated by distance and by miles because of this pandemic, yet we are not separated. Your Spirit joins us all in our hearts, and we can feel one another. Just now, Lord, I can feel the body of Christ as we gather now in this broadcast. And I pray that you would bless our coming together for good, that it would be, first of all, ultimately to your great name's honor and glory, and that it would be to the upbuilding, as we see the church continues to be upbuilt, that this broadcast and all others like it would be blessed to push back against the forces of darkness in this world and be a point of light in the hearts and minds of God's people. Lord, bless all those who are suffering. God, it's catastrophic, the need that is occurring around our globe just now. But Lord, if we could ever look one time into your great storehouse of grace, we'd never fear again. So show us again and again. I fear, Lord, that We're like John the Baptist. We're human, we're feeble, and we need to be showed again. So show us again, we pray, Lord, your great ability to meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And we don't ask any of these things because of any goodness that we have. We ask, Lord, that you will bless in ways that blessings are needed, whether they're physical infirmities, emotional, mental, spiritual infirmities. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless all of those and this broadcast for Jesus' sake. In his precious name we pray and ask it all, and amen. Okay, very quickly, I want to read to you, and if you have the Word of God with you and you want to read with us, go to the very last chapter of the prophecy of Ezekiel, and I'm not going to be able to pause and give you time to get there. You'll just have to catch up because I just have a few moments with you this morning. I want to go as far as we can with it. The last chapter of this very large, it's just one of the largest books in the Bible, the book of Ezekiel, 48 very lengthy chapters. It's rich, it's resplendent with glorious truth. And so we're at the very end of this amazing, this mind-boggling prophecy of Ezekiel, so glorious. The visions are overwhelming, awe-inspiring visions of the glory and the grandeur of God and what he has in store for his people. And so this is being written to a people that are in captivity. They're literally in captivity in Babylon. Ezekiel, a priest, lives and dwells among them, and God gives him a special prophecy. You and I are in captivity today, aren't we? The captivity of this pandemic. But just as God had supplies for his captive people then, God has supplies for his captive people today. And so, with the eye of inspired prophecy, Ezekiel looked beyond all of the struggles and trials and heartaches and bitter tears which are endured by God's elect in this world. He looked beyond Satan's fury and the world's opposition, and he looked forward to the church's final triumph in the last chapter of this prophecy. The Holy Spirit moved Ezekiel to describe the fullness and the completion of God's holy city. Now, this is a message for our day. Listen to what he says in the last verse of the last chapter of the book of, this is the last thing Ezekiel has to say to a captive people. He's describing the city of God. He said it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, "The Lord is there." Ezekiel's final word is this: the name of God's church in its final triumph, the New Jerusalem, shall be Jehovah Shammah, "The Lord is there." The name of that city shall be called Jehovah Shammah, "The Lord is there." Now, that would be startling to the Jews that were in captivity. See, their view of God was that he is the very far away, transcendent God who cannot come near. He cannot come close, lest he defile himself. He can't come close to a fallen creation. He is Jehovah, the thrice holy God, and he cannot come near. This would have been staggering. It would have been startling, these words from the pen of the prophet, that the name of God's city in its final form is going to be that God is coming near. He's going to be there. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah is not only a suitable name for the city of God in its finality, the thought of God being there. That's what we desire, isn't it? For God to be there where we are. That's what we need, isn't it? Well, let me say, God has been there at different times throughout the course of human history. Jehovah Shammah, "The Lord is there," was a name suitable for God's original creation, for the Lord was there. He was preparing a place where he might be with man, where he might fellowship with man, where he might walk with man, where they might walk together in high and holy communion. God's original creation was designed to be Jehovah Shammah, "The Lord is there." And so God planted a garden eastward in Eden, well-watered and fertile. And in that garden, he gave man everything it could possibly need. Then God created man in his own image and after his own likeness. And the Lord took man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. For Adam's further happiness and satisfaction, God took one of Adam's ribs and made for man a woman and brought her to the man. Surely the Lord was there. It was Jehovah Shema, the Garden of Eden, the first wedding ceremony performed by God himself. And he brought the woman that he had made and gave her to the man that he had made. It was Jehovah Shema. The earth was a place of majesty and beauty and splendor in those days. The tempter's fatal power had not yet been felt. The slimy trail of the serpent had not yet marred the handiwork of God. It was Jehovah Shema. And Adam and Eve lived in happiness and holiness to the glory of God. But the most blessed thing that could be said about all of that was that Adam and Eve one day heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Jehovah Shema, the Lord was there. But unfortunately, while God was there, his presence had been spoiled because of an obnoxious intruder. An obnoxious intruder had come into the garden, and it was sin. And as a result, when Jehovah was there, when he was Jehovah Shema, they hid themselves. But what a thought, my friends. There was a day when God walked with man and man walked with God. That was the highest bliss and the glory of Eden. That was great and incomprehensible privilege for Adam in his innocence that the Lord was there. But let me say, though Adam fell, God did not utterly forsake his creation. God still came to his own and made himself known. Though God would destroy the world with a flood, and he commanded Noah to build an ark, the Lord was with Noah in the ark. He was there in the ark, and that's the reason that Noah survived when Abraham and Isaac went up on Mount Moriah, and he was going to sacrifice Isaac. The Lord was there, and as a result of it being Jehovah Shema, the Lord was there. Isaac, he was rescued. When Jacob was fleeing from Esau, his bloodthirsty brother, in a desert wilderness, Jacob lays down that night and he makes stones for his pillow. And in that night, he sees the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of a ladder that's let down from heaven. And the angels of God ascending and descending. And the next morning, Jacob wakes up and he declares, he says, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. This is the gate of heaven and the house of God. And he called the place Bethel because the Lord was there. Listen, friends, God didn't abandon his people in the Old Testament. He was still Jehovah Shema. He was there. And wherever men and women met in worship, wherever men were found in those ancient days who believed God, the Lord was there. And I don't have time to describe God's presence in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, in the land of Canaan, whenever they were in their wilderness journey. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. But the Lord was there. He was there. He was there in the time of the judges and the kings and the prophets in Israel. He was there whenever Solomon built his temple. And at the feast of dedication, it was so Jehovah Shema. The Lord was so there, my friends, that it was necessary for Solomon to leave out of the thick glory, the thick cloud of God's glory. He was Jehovah Shema. But remember, in the Old Testament, it was always this, my friends. It was here a little and there a little. And then, day of days for Jehovah Shema, for the Lord to be there on the face of the earth, 4,000 years after, listen to me, 4,000 years. This is history, my friends, redemptive history. 4,000 years after the fall of our father Adam in the Garden of Eden, in a common cow stable in the little Judean town of Bethlehem, a child was born, laid in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. And let me say, that manger became Jehovah Shema. The Lord was there, the one who was born in Bethlehem, praise his holy name, was Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That baby wrapped up in those swaddling cloths was God wrapped up in a body of human flesh. He was Jehovah Shammah, the God who was there. God was with him. His name is Emmanuel, which is to say, God with us. Jesus Christ, the man, is Jehovah our God. And as Jehovah Jesus, he is Jehovah Shammah. For let me say, wherever Jesus Christ is, the Lord is there. Child of God, God has not left us. He came to us over and over again in the Old Testament. And he came to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Jehovah Shammah. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily while he tabernacled among us those years ago. Throughout the 33 years of his life, as Jesus pitched his tent among us, God was in him. Jehovah was in his Son. Paul said, reconciling the world of his family unto himself. And all that he said, and all that he did, and all that he experienced from the moment of time that he came into the virgin's womb until the moment that he said, it is finished. He was Jehovah Shammah, Jesus Christ, performing the work of our salvation. And wherever you see that name, Jesus Christ, in the Gospels, you know it's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. When that baby comes from the womb, it's the Lord is there coming to save his people. As he lived and tabernacled among men, he was Jehovah Shammah. Throughout the course of his life, he was there. In all their afflictions, this is what Isaiah says, Isaiah 63:9, that in all of their afflictions, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. That means that God couldn't save us from the confines, from the holy confines of heaven. God would have to come here. The angel of his presence, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the angel of his presence, Jehovah Shammah, he would have to be here. So that even on the cross, my friends, now friends, this is a great mystery, and I don't have the vocabulary to properly to describe it. But let me say, even on the cross, he was Jehovah Shammah. Only God could satisfy and meet the demands of God. So God himself goes to the cross. He's Jehovah Shammah. God is there on Calvary's rugged brow. It's a great mystery, and I can't explain it, but I can tell you this, that on Calvary, God was there. Jehovah was there punishing sin, and God was there, Jehovah Shammah, being punished for sin. God was there satisfying his justice, and God was there upon whom justice was being satisfied. God was there bruising the cursed one. And God was the cursed one there being bruised. What a great mystery, my friends. God was there, the forsaken sufferer. And he was Jehovah Shammah. God was there, the sufferer being forsaken. And there, God was there pouring out the vials of wrath and condemnation. And he's Jehovah Shammah. God is there on Calvary drinking down wrath and the condemnation against our sin. God is there, my friends, killing the sinner substitute. And God was the sinner substitute being killed. I've said nothing compared with what might be said. But let me say, while I haven't said anything compared to what should be said, one day soon, my friends, the Lord himself, who was there, is going to tell us in heaven's pure world all that he did and suffered. And then, not until then, shall we know, my friends, how much we owe. But he is Jehovah Shammah. He's Jehovah Shammah. He was there at Calvary. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who was there with his people today. Even before they know him in the free pardon of their sin and regeneration, he's still with them. Not in the sense that he's with them in regeneration, but even before we're born again, God is with his people providentially caring for them and protecting them. The Lord tells Israel in Hosea 2:8, even when you weren't mindful of me, I was with you and I was mindful of you. Even then, when you didn't care for me and you were sacrificing to idols. And listen, there was a day in our life when all of us sacrifice to idols, the gods of this world, the gods of pleasure, the gods of lust, the gods of pride, before we were quickened and born again of God's Holy Spirit. But even then, friends, in our lost, miserable condition, He was Jehovah Shammah. The Lord was with us. He told Israel, even when you were sacrificing to idols and you didn't know me, you did not know that I was giving you corn and wine and oil and giving you silver and gold. Even when we didn't know Him, friends, yet He knew us and He sustained us and cared for us even before we were born again. He was Jehovah Shammah. The Lord was there with us even before we knew Him. And then the great day came when the Spirit of God came to our heart in the free pardon of our sins and quickened us and born us again. And He set up His throne room in our heart. And surely in regeneration, Jesus has been Jehovah Shammah to you and I. He's with us. And let me tell you, friends, He's going to be Jehovah Shammah to us as long as we live in this world. And even when we come to die, He's going to be Jehovah Shammah. Thank God He has promised, even in death, He's going to be there with us. He's not going to send His angels. He promised in John 14, He'd be Jehovah Shammah. He said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And I think about the dear ones that we've said goodbye to, those precious mothers and fathers in Israel at McClinney Church. Every one of them that left this world, they left and they went out leaning on the arm of Jesus Christ, going into heaven's pure world in their soul and in their spirit, because He's Jehovah Shammah. Now let me say this, He's Jehovah Shammah in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. That is, when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ comes together and it's the city of God on the earth, it's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. That's what makes the assembly of the saints so wonderful. It's not because David Crawford's there, because you're there. It's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And that's the church's security on the face of the earth against all of her adversaries in the midst of all of her troubles. She will go forward. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church, because the church is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. He said, he that touches you touches the apple of my eye. That's the power of God's church. It's not the strength of the members that is the power of God's church in this world. The power of the church is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And that is the unusual peace and unity of the church. The unity of the church is not our willingness to come together. The unity of the church is because the Lord is there. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, where Jesus is, there is unity. I know I've been very fast with this, but I've got to move on. Time's already gone. But I want to finish this, my friends. One day, this church that has existed, my friends, one day this church that has existed in weakness in this world, that has been a suffering church, one glorious day, the church is going to be delivered, as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, up to God, even the Father. And then the church in all of her triumph is going to fully realize Jehovah Shammah. You see, that's what the Lord is doing. He's assembling His temple today. The Apostle Peter says this, that every time a child of God is born again, we are as, he says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, that we are as lively stones, that we're building this spiritual house. You also as lively stones, we become a part of the spiritual house of God. God is assembling His temple. The Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians, he said, the whole building is being fitly framed together, and it groweth unto a holy temple unto the Lord. Here's what I'm getting at, my friends. Whenever all of the family of God is brought together today, as God has been fashioning us and making us and getting us ready for heaven, He begins the work in regeneration and the power of the new birth. He is going to, in the morning of the resurrection, bring our bodies together. He's going to put our souls and spirits back in us. And then, my friends, this is what's going to happen in the last day. In heaven, the church, every member of the church, listen, the church on earth loses members, but the church in heaven, not one of them shall be lost. The church is going to be like a great temple, a great tabernacle in heaven. All of us, that building is being fitly framed. It has been fitly framed by God. And John, whenever he sees it, this is what the church, triumphant in all of its glory, is going to look like in heaven. John said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Listen, here's Jehovah Shammah. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And this is the sweetest part of heaven, my friends. It's going to be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. He will dwell with them. You and I, we shall be his people. He's going to inhabit the beautiful temple that he's made, which is all of the family of God together. He shall dwell with them. Friends, I don't want to go to heaven just to get away from the sorrow and sickness and pain of this world, though I'm looking forward to it. I'm not going to heaven, friends, to find my father, to look for my grandmother, my grandfather. I believe I'm going to see him, and that makes my heart feel good. But friends, I want to go to heaven because it's going to be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. That's who I want to go and see. And while I live in this world, I want to be where the Lord is. That's the reason I'm a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be there. God is with Jehovah Shammah. Don't be afraid. You may feel isolated today, but the Lord is there. He's Jehovah Shammah in time. He's Jehovah Shammah in eternity. And as long as he is with us, and he's with us, the Lord is there, everything will be all right. There's much more could be said, but I am way out of time. Now remember, we're going to have baptismal service right now. So I'm going to conclude this broadcast, and we're going to begin a live broadcast right now of baptismal services. You'll see me 2 minutes in the baptistry. Praise God. So tune in and encourage Brother Zach by sending comments so he can look back and see that you were there with him. Give him the right hand of fellowship through comments. You can do that. He'll feel them. So tune in to our live broadcast right now. We're switching right now.